Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, I'm Alex Hoban, winner of Series 1 of Channel 4's The Circle, and this is part 11 of Dishonest Fun, the official Circle podcast. Each episode, a panel of celebrities, comedians, and experts help me delve into the fascinating world of human behaviour, on and offline. Consider this your spoiler warning. If you haven't seen all the latest episodes of Series 3 yet, then go and watch them on all four first before we give the game away. Today's topic is, drumroll, the big reveal. In The Circle, players who are pretending to be other people have to reveal their true selves at some point. But how the other players react and how they themselves feel about it will depend on what they've been getting up to in the game. I should know, after successfully catfishing everyone in Series 1, the fallout when they found out who I really was, let's say, quite dramatic. And for those who are playing themselves, what they reveal, when and who to, plays a crucial role in whether the other players like and trust them. With me today to explore the art of the reveal are drag queen Crystal, comedian Jen Ives, and our returning expert and Celebs Go Dating guru, Paul Carrick-Brunson. Welcome, guys. How are you doing today?
Hello.
Hello.
What's up?
Look at that. We've got a few different accents. We've got Paul over in America. We've got our two London-based guys, Crystal and Jen as well. Crystal, you're Canadian, right?
Yeah, Canadian originally. So this is a fully intercontinental cast. I love it.
We're global right now, guys.
The benefits of globalization before you.
Exactly. So we kick things off every time in the same way. We have a little game whereby you guys give me a fact. I have to guess whether it's true, whether it's false, and use my skills from The Circle a few years ago now, which I have found aren't really there anymore, to determine whether it's true or false. So, Jen, if we start with you, hit me with a fact.
Sure. Okay. So a few years ago when I was working in Tesco's, a 70-year-old woman named Tina asked me to take her to the Sea Life Centre, and despite not knowing her, I did that, and I took her for a whole day out, and it was very weird and awkward.
Okay, so my only question is, what was Tina's favourite sea animal?
I think she didn't really have much of an interest in any of the animals. The only thing I remember her having an interest in was the ice cream that I also bought her at the end of the year.
I love this. Well, I mean, Tina, if you're listening, which you probably aren't, why would you ask Jen to take you to SeaWorld if you don't even enjoy the animals? This is my question.
It's just a day out. It's a nice thing to do, you know. I think it was more about, I don't know, maybe it was more about me.
There you go. Okay, who knows? I think that is, I'm going to go with true, Jen. Give me the result.
Yeah, it's 100% true. It was really weird. I remember watching her eat that ice cream and it was all like falling down her. And I remember thinking, I've overstepped some kind of boundary here.
I want to know Tina. I want to go to the pub with Tina. That's the kind of energy I'm going to approach my 2021 with.
You'd have loved her. Like, honestly, like, this is the thing. She was such a lovely, eccentric, like old lady, and I couldn't really say no, partly because I made the mistake of giving her my phone number. So, yeah.
Oh God, you gave her not only she's got your digits. Have you ever heard from Tina again?
No, I haven't. Oh, okay. I changed. It felt. Well,
I changed my number. Yeah. She says.
And she ghosted me. That's
yeah,
crazy.
I ghosted an old lady.
Basically, you were being stalked by an octogenarian.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Crystal, let's move on to you.
Sure.
Give me
your first. So, yeah. So as a drag queen, Alex, I've had the pleasure of performing in many glamorous locations, you know, big stages, creaky castles. But the best place that I have ever performed was a private show in one of the pods on the London Eye.
Oh, well, that firstly, if this is true, that's incredible because I would love that. Look at that, a private show. Okay, who were the guests?
So it was a ticketed event, but they definitely didn't know what they were getting in for. And obviously, we had to do a full rotation in a very small pod with very bad music quality.
Do you know what? I believe this because I've been on there. And the tinny music, it's like, okay, you've built this multi-million pound structure. Could you not have got some fucking good speakers in it? But I'm going to say that's true, Crystal.
It is 100% true.
Yes!
Definitely a career. I don't know if it's a highlight or a low light, but it was definitely a light in my career. I performed out of a Bluetooth speaker and naturally I had to do Defying Gravity, didn't I?
Okay, nice. Nice. Wait, were you the witch?
Naturally.
Okay, I thought so. You've got to be there. Okay, Paul, lastly, let's finish with you.
Oh, man, Alex, this is wild because the last episode I did with you, you got them all wrong.
Look at you.
All right, so I am one of the presenters for the upcoming Married at First Sight UK. And in the US, we've started experimenting on Married at First Sight with polyamorous relationships, right? Being married to more than just one person. So in the UK, we're going to experiment with that same thing.
Oh, so do you know what? I've just finished the Australian one. I've got to say, first off, what a show. Because I hate drama, but I couldn't stop watching that show. And like, to the point where I felt like physically sick when they had to meet each other or they had to like come out and say they were cheating or whatever. I was like, oh.
Yeah, man, it's addictive.
But I think that in the UK, polyamorous relationships aren't that prevalent. So I think it'd be really interesting to explore that. And I think that'd be a good move production-wise. So I'm going to say true.
You are absolutely incorrect.
No! Sorry!
I got you, Alex! I got you.
Not only did you get me, you also made me like really nervous that I was going to offend someone by saying that as well.
I'm deeply offended, actually.
Sorry, Crystal. that was amazing. Okay, so I had two truths. Jen's was true. Crystal's was true. Paul caught me with a false when I said true. And that is the game done. So let's kick off with a general question to you guys. Do you feel that you portray your true selves online?
No, not really. A little bit. I think because of the pandemic, like I do a lot more. I think because that's like my only way to express myself. So I've become a little bit more sincere over the past year. But I used to be very just like, this is a character. This is like an idea of me, you know.
Yeah.
I'm more horrible online than I am in real life sort of thing.
Oh. As a comedian, that's an interesting thing too, is that a lot of people meet comedians and they go, oh, why aren't you as funny as you are online? Do you find that as well, Jen?
No. I'm always funny.
Damn it.
No, it's just, yeah, I guess so. It's just kind of like, there's kind of this weird thing that I have, like, for example, when I'm on Twitter, I just can't really tweet in my own voice. Like, there's this other voice that comes through that's kind of a little bit more antagonistic and it's just a little bit more of a bitch, really.
Okay.
Well, I like to think that it's not really me. Maybe it is. Maybe it's just a part of me.
Okay. Crystal, I've seen you slaying on your Instagram in your various amazing looks. Give me the... I presume that you don't portray yourself.
Yeah, I mean, 100% natural. I just wake up like that every day. And, you know, basically, any drag queen wouldn't be working without the wonders of Facetune and Instagram filters. So there's nothing true about my social media presence. And to be honest, the longer it goes on, the more ridiculous and far-fetched it becomes. It's like, I'll be standing in my room in a very small corner with a very clever backdrop and some lighting and just creating an entire fantasy world that's actually, if you saw the real me, it wouldn't be so pretty.
That's interesting. Have you found that lockdown, this is a really off-piste question, but lockdown has allowed you to have more time to work on your looks and like your content?
Yeah, definitely. It's actually been the surprising benefit. Just having time to like focus on the micro level of drag, like the makeup and getting a really good photo. But God, I miss the stage. Get me back in front of people. Give me the attention.
Yeah. Get me in a seat to watch as well. Jeez.
Yeah.
Paul, a question for you. Is this a common thing to see? Both our guests, Sang, including me, have mentioned that perhaps we don't portray our true selves online.
Yeah, absolutely. And social media makes it easier than ever to do this. The other part about social media that I think is really interesting here is that a lot of us make money through that, right? Through money, through influencer work. And when people hire you for influencer work, they don't want all of you. They want one sliver of you. And so what we often do is we find that sliver and then we play that up and everything else we downplay.
That's interesting. I think that's very true as well.
In the famous words of Britney, you want a piece of
Crystal is good. Crystal is good.
Keep them coming. Keep them coming. Jen, as a stand-up comedian,
yeah.
Do you feel that keeping a part of you sort of behind closed doors helps you with the confidence on stage?
No, I think that like when I'm on stage, I'm like more of myself. Like I'm a lot more honest on stage than I would be online. There's something about being in front of actual people and most of them, like, you don't actually know. So I feel a lot more free to just like say whatever I'm thinking, even if that's stuff that might potentially offend friends and family and stuff like that. Like I've certainly said things that I wouldn't say in an online setting where it's permanent forever, you know, because in the room it's just like it's gone, hopefully, after that evening.
That's true, because then I guess it can't be just shared for eternity online for everyone to see.
Unless someone films it or something, I'm screwed. But yeah, like I love being like honest on stage. To a point.
Crystal, as an openly gay man and a drag queen, what was your coming out experience like?
I had the old school coming out experience, which was pre-social media, just, you know, telling friends and family. And that was all super fine. Like my family were super supportive and it was a pretty good process. I had to kind of do a second coming out later in life as a drag queen, just because social media was a thing then and had all my friends and family on social media, obviously. And they were just noticing more and more wigs in my photos and wondering kind of what was going on. And there were definitely family members that weren't sure, you know, was this maybe the start of a transition for me? Or was I posting things for like sexual gratification? There's like still a lot of people that don't understand necessarily the difference between trans identities and doing drag and cross-dressing and all. There's, you know, there's a whole spectrum of things and they're very different. So that was more just like telling my auntie in rural Canada that like I'm wearing thigh-high red boots because they make me feel great, not because I don't like women.
So from that, I kind of gather that you would say that social media has changed sort of the coming out experience.
Yeah, I think it would be really scary now to come out because everything you put on social media feels like a pronouncement. It's like everything is a PR statement. So it can be hard to like take things back. You know, you say I'm this on social media and people might think that's you like that forever. Mm. And people should be free to kind of explore and change their mind.
No, but you know, what's a great commonality there between what Jen and Crystal said is that, you know, Jen was like, hey, when I'm in the room, I feel safer than if I were online, right? And Crystal, you know, you're saying, hey, this is a big pronouncement. The issue is that there's so much fear. You know, almost all of our decisions in life are fear-based, unfortunately, right? They're fear-based. But when you can step outside of that, that's really when you liberate yourself. So to go back to Crystal's point, Crystal, you were like, hey, when I fully accepted it myself, I was able to do all these other things, right? That's the reason why self-acceptance is the first step to living an authentic life.
And Jen, sort of putting the ball into your court in terms of your experience as well, as a trans woman, what was your coming out experience like?
Yeah, mine, well, it was like 10 years ago. I consider mine as like an old fashioned coming out as well. You know, I did it in person. I sat down. It was all very like emotional. Like, guess what, Dad? It was that kind of thing, you know. But the online space was there, and I did, in a sense, have to come out online as well. The only problem is with my Facebook and all that stuff that I had back then, I had sort of built up a reputation on there as being like intentionally being really stupid, like for comedy, like just everything I did was like a joke on online. So when I did eventually have to like come out and tell people like what I was doing, loads of people just didn't believe me. It was like a cried wolf situation. Yeah. And it was just kind of like, it was frustrating because people were like, are you having a breakdown? Is this a character that you're doing? I was like, no, like this is like getting rid of the character now.
Yeah, I was a character before.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I do think though that like nowadays, a lot of young people, it seems that they kind of play with their identity online before committing to coming out, or they come out in a way online so they can almost start living it and make it real for themselves before they commit to it in real life. It's like, it seems to be an important part of the process now.
Definitely. And there's way more acceptance online now as well. So you can kind of find a community potentially online before you can find that in real life. So huge benefit to that potentially.
Essentially, that's what a lot of people attempt to do on The Circle. So I guess the mindset behind when I went on The Circle and playing a woman was that I saw a trend in social media that my girlfriend's social media was far more engaged than mine, and she was far more popular than me. So why wouldn't, in a popularity competition, I pretend to be her? You see different people and different things pretending to be older than they are, younger than they are, straight, gay, whatever. They really utilize Circle as a platform to play with their identities.
Yeah. You know, the guy who's like pretending to be his nan, Scott, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting how like he was living in this role for sort of so long. When he came out of it, he still had like massive like nan energy. Do you know what I mean? Like he still felt like a nan. And like to me, like even though that I'm looking at him and he's got like facial hair, or some nans do have facial hair, but that doesn't matter. even though that he's like, you know, he looks different from a nan, I still feel that he's a nan. Do you know what I mean? Because that's kind of like what he's put out there.
100%. You really embrace the character. You start thinking, who was I before?
What you both just walked through is that's socialization. It's like what we do is we, you know, I've my youngest is he's 7 years old, right? So what he's doing is he's out in the world and he's looking for what positive reinforcement does he get on certain things, and where he gets the positive, where he perceives it to be positive, right? He does more of that. Where he perceives to be not positive, negative, he does less of that. And this is the reason why parenting is so important, is because we have to be able to create safe environments for our kids so that they can experiment in everything that they are.
I was just nodding along to everything all of you were saying, because I relate so hard to that as someone who has a drag character, who when I started doing drag was very kind of separate to me. Crystal was like this thing that I could explore parts of myself, be the confident person, be the outgoing person, be the loud, be the funny person, be the slutty person, whatever. And as like drag became more and more of a thing, it was like I was living a double life, because like how do you go between the two? And you've got people calling you Crystal when you're not in drag, and like, you know, all of that stuff. And so eventually I've just kind of made my peace and found this kind of happy medium between both personas at all times, and I can just easily dip in and out, because they were all me all along, if you will. And I think that's kind of what we saw with maybe with Scott and Dot. You know, he wasn't really being Dot, he was just being himself, but like an extra camp sweet version of himself. And basically this show is just drag. It's just fully drag.
That's interesting what you say though, the sense of relief. And I'm sure you must have felt it when you just embraced both, and you're just like, okay, I don't care anymore, I'm just going to be me. It's the relief that you get on the show as well, when you meet people and you're like, okay, I don't have to pretend anymore, this is me. It's such a good feeling, and I can't imagine what it's like on your scales. Like,
I like it as almost like a coming out simulator for like straight people. Do you know what I mean? It's like they go in there and then they're lying about who they are, and they have to like, you know, come out. And it,
Jen, the straights have co-opted queer culture again.
Again, I know, but I'm okay with it because it's Channel 4. It's okay.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, right, guys. In this clip, there's been a shock blocking of the much-beloved 85-year-old Nan, Dot, played by her grandson, Scott. Bit of a tongue twister. On leaving, he has to decide which player he's going to visit. So this clip here is him trying to figure out who to go and see.
Oh no.
Yes, it's been one hell of a run, but the final curtain is about to fall on Scott's performance as Nana Dot. And who will he treat to a very special one-to-one performance?
I could go and meet Andy, just to sort of like say hello and, you know, be interested to see his reaction. Manrika, I think it's going to be genuine shock and be like, you bastard. I'll be terrified meeting Saeed. Out of everyone, He's the person that intrigues me the most about if he is genuine. Just because he's such a character. And Felix, for me, he's the guy that, you know, I really trust, and I think he's an absolute legend. You know, it'd be nice to sort of, to say hello. Here's Nana.
So clearly he's running through in his head who he's going to see, what kind of people they're going to be and what their reactions are going to be to him revealing his true self. Do you think that anyone's going to be annoyed when he comes out?
I would have had anxiety in Scott's place where, you know, especially going to who he thinks is a straight man and revealing that this lovely old lady, the person thinks they've been talking to, isn't real. Like, that feels like dangerous territory as someone who's like walked down the street in drag at night. Like, that feels scary to me. So I just don't think I would have been able to do it.
Nah, I'm with you, Chris. It's one of those where it's like, I think this is where it goes to like your personality types. You know, I think there's some people who are comfortable in living in a facade and living in a completely, you know, made up world and being able to represent that. But there's some people who are just like straight truth tellers who just are just too authentic down to their core to be able to operate that
Thank
way.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you. Yes, I am. Thank you. I appreciate you acknowledging me.
Exactly. The folks out here like Jen, you know what I mean? Couldn't do that. It's impossible.
Amazing. Basically, I had a similar experience where I had to go and meet all the contestants, and I can tell you now, there's a bit of a game going on in your head where you're like, these people could also be fake, or these people could be real. So you have to try and walk that fine line between going in there all cocky, like you guys could have been fake as well, but also they could all be real and you could be like getting their wrath, essentially. Mm. So Scott makes his decision, or Dorothy makes her decision, and they go to meet Army Lad Felix, also known as Natalia. So we're going to have a listen here to see how that goes down.
No.
Shut up!
No. Felix!
Yeah.
Shut up! You are fucking beautiful!
Oh, babe!
It's Nana Dot, babe.
Oh, I've supported you to the end,
I've
honestly.
Supported you, babe.
Oh,
my God, you are absolutely...
Oh, thank you.
Stunning. Is Felix your boyfriend?
No, so I'm in the army and I'm just pretending to be an army dude.
Stop it!
Yeah. Sit! I can't believe
it! Oh, my God.
So who's Nana Dot?
She's my nana.
She's actually your nana?
She's my nan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, what's
your
name?
What
is it?
Natalia.
Natalia?
Yeah.
Scott.
Scott.
Scott and Dot. So basically,
yeah,
It's my nan.
Okay.
She's 85. Everything's true.
Oh, I loved her.
Everything is real. Notes I had.
Oh, no, me too.
Like, books and books of, like, stuff on the wall. That Falklands question was like, who fucking asked that? Bastards. I was like, he was trying to catch me out.
Oh, so good.
I love that. It's incredible. It's the catfishes colliding in front of our eyes there. But the overall sentiment is really positive, and it's quite, there's no animosity there. Because they're both catfishes, do you think if they went to meet any of the others, there would be a slightly different reaction?
In the last two examples, though, even though it was a catfish scenario, it was rooted in truth. Both stories were rooted in truth. That's what made it okay. That's what made it acceptable, right? Is that they rooted in truth. Now, if you were to ask Jen, who's a straight truth teller, maybe that still doesn't sit right. But in that example, it worked because it was rooted in truth.
And it's often as well that people who are claiming this really true and authentic persona in the circle, you as an audience member, you can see them portraying different people to different members of the circle anyway. Mm. So it's almost like, wake up, this is a big game, yeah, and you're playing it.
And that's going to like give them away eventually.
Who's the real catfish?
Exactly, yeah. Have you guys ever met anyone in real life that you've been shocked and you're like, hang on a minute, you're far different to what you portray online?
That is called gay dating. Actually, I've had the exact opposite happen. This is a really embarrassing story, but I was on a date once and I went to the loo and the guy texted me by mistake and said, I don't think he's as cute as his photos.
How did the rest of that date
go? Yeah, exactly. Tell us more about that.
We finished our pints in relative silence and then I left. There's not really any coming back from that, is there?
No.
It depends. It depends what he looks like.
he was really hot, so I probably still would have, to be honest.
Awesome, guys. So we're so close to the final now. I want the final verdicts. Who do we want to win? I'm going Felix because of that. I really liked that meeting. What about you, Crystal?
I think I would echo that just because I love the way she's approached it, and I love that she's kept some heart, and she's like kind of flipped the script, and she's taking on masculinity in her own way. I think it's fab to watch.
I think I will go with Manrique just because I do get the impression that Felix does care about them. And I think if it does end up breaking Manrique's heart, then at least she won. So that's nice, isn't it?
That is true. That is true. Guys, that's all we've got time for. So that leaves me to thank my amazing guests, Jen, Crystal and Paul. Thank you so much for being on Dishonest Fun, the official Circle podcast. It's been lovely talking to you.
Thanks for having
me. You made it.
Cheers, guys. Thank you so much for joining me today on Dishonest Fun, the official Circle podcast. To keep updated with us as new episodes drop, make sure you click follow on the podcast. And let us know if you're enjoying it by leaving us a review. It really helps other people find us. Of course, the rest of The Circle is going out on Channel 4 all this week. And the next time I see you, it'll be the last episode of Dishonest Fun. And we'll be meeting the winner of Series 3 of The Circle. And I cannot wait for that. Thank you, guys, and see you soon.